follow along this morning on your mobile device, whatever that might be, you can do that on YouVersion Events. And you can go there to YouVersionEvent.com, and you'll find Pioneer Park Church. In our bulletins is the internet and the password for that. And so feel free to do that if you would like. You can also save the event. And at the end of it, the notes, you'll find a reading plan for the next 7 days about sharing our faith. And so I think that's a good one. And just to invite you to do that if you want. This morning we say, as we read in Scripture, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, the gift of Jesus. And so that's part of what we're giving thanks for today. You know, we give him thanks for our food, for our house, for our clothes, for all kinds of stuff. But today is also this weekend a time of giving thanks for God's son, Jesus, who died for our sins in our place. Well, today we're continuing our series, We Are the Church. And what we're doing is we're actually skimming through, hitting some of the high points in the book of Acts in the New Testament, reminding ourselves of the early church, of the working of the Holy Spirit, and God's call to us today to be on mission for him and for his kingdom. And so I just want to look at some verses with you this morning from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 39, and this is the account, the thing that happened in those verses. As for Philip, we'll talk about Philip in a few minutes, but as for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. And so he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. And so Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asked, do you understand what you're reading? And the man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he invited Philip, or he urged Philip, to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of Scripture he had been reading was this, and it was from the book of Isaiah. He's reading in Acts from a prophecy from the book of Isaiah back in the Old Testament. It said this. It was a prophecy about Jesus. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or somebody else? And so beginning with that same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? And he ordered the carriage to stop. And they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Lord, I just pray you bless the reading of your word to our hearts today. We've touched on some interesting passages in the book of Acts, and this is another one this morning. And so I just pray you guide our hearts and our understanding, and just help us to hear what it is that you have for us today. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, in this part of Acts, in chapter 8, when we come to these, actually in chapter 8, I've only read with you 26 to 39, but prior to that, this time in the life of the church had gone from a time, as we've been talking about over the past few weeks, but gone from a time of great celebration and awesomeness to a time of persecution against the church at Jerusalem. I mean, just prior to what we're reading here today, I think it's the end of chapter 7, we read about the stoning of Stephen. The Christians were scattered around that part of the world, and there was a guy named Saul, and I'll just tell you, Saul, who later became known to us as the Apostle Paul, there was a guy named Saul, and he was just causing havoc, persecuting the church. He was going around throwing Christians in prison for their belief. But those who were scattered, and that's what happened, the church scattered to get away from the persecution, they went everywhere, and when they did that, they preached the good news of Jesus where they went. And this guy named Philip was not who we see in the Bible as the Apostle Philip. But he was one of the seven guys in chapter 6 that were appointed to help in to help people with some of the practical needs. There were some widows who were really struggling, and they were kind of, you know, getting left out of the picture. It was weird because remember we read about they had everything in common and, you know, and no one was in need. Well, things started happening and there was a little more spread and things were getting larger. And when that happens, sometimes things fall through the cracks. And there were some widows, some other folks who were struggling and they were felt like they were being missed out, and they said, "Hey, we're struggling here." And so, what they decided is, "Hey, we're gonna appoint seven people to look after these needs, and that's going to be their job to look after all of those and to help folks out in practical ways." And so that's one of those guys was a guy named Philip who we're talking about today. He was a man of honest character and reputation who was filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And when that persecution came and people began to sort of spread and run a bit, he went up to a place called Samaria, and he shared the gospel there. And God blessed him and used him in that place called Samaria. We read in this chapter 8 of Acts that there was great joy in Samaria because the people not only listened to the words Philip was speaking, they began to follow them, to live them out. And they also saw the miracles done by Philip, and Philip experienced a great time of ministry in Samaria. And many people were baptized. We've talked to you about that, about the opportunity you have to do that at the end of the series. Many people were baptized when they heard and believed Philip as he spoke about things concerning the kingdom of God and of Jesus. And so as we get to our verses today, they tell us that Philip gets a word of instruction, is one of the ways it's put. Philip gets a word of instruction from an angel of the Lord to go on what seemed a very strange mission. We're going to look at some of the things about that mission in the verses just for a few moments this morning we read, and I'll call them four elements that are involved in sharing our faith with others. Four elements that are involved in sharing our faith with others. The first one is a prepared heart. A prepared heart. That's the first thing that's really noticeable in this account, is that there's a prepared heart. We're introduced to a eunuch. A eunuch generally refers to, and this is your lesson in biology a little bit this morning, a eunuch generally refers to a man who has been castrated, typically early enough in his life that this change has major hormonal consequences. And castration was typically carried out on the soon-to-be eunuch without his consent oftentimes. Eunuchs would usually be servants or slaves who had been castrated in order to make them reliable servants of royalty in different places. Eunuchs did not have a family of their own. They couldn't. And they were seen as more trustworthy and less interested in establishing their own private dynasty. In other words, they wouldn't kill their boss and set up a royal family of their own, because they couldn't. But what was done to them also usually lowered their social status and exposed them to ridicule and exclusion. Now, this particular eunuch was from Ethiopia, not what's known as modern-day Ethiopia. But he carried the authority with him, and this was a bit of a different situation too. He carried the authority of the queen mother of his place where he lived. Some translations call her Candace. Some say the Candake, which is sort of like a term for, you know, the Pharaoh or the Caesar. And in this case, it was the Queen Mother or the Candake. And some have translated that Candace. Whatever the case, she trusted him with all her finances, and he had risen from being her servant or her slave to becoming her personal business manager, her treasurer and confidant. And he had traveled all the way up through Egypt and along the Mediterranean coast over to Jerusalem. I guess because the Jewish people would have been well traveled along the commercial routes, he may have heard about God heard about the God of the Jews from those travels and business trips that others had taken to his home country. Whatever the case, he was searching for the true God. And somehow he was, we read, a God-fearer. We don't get all the details. We don't really get the answer as to why he came to Jerusalem to worship, but he did. And we read then that he's on his way back home, and he's reading from an Old Testament prophet called Isaiah. He's clearly trying to understand some things about God, and he's reading from the scriptures that they had at that time. And God had been working in him and on his heart in ways that only God can and God could. And God was responding to this eunuch in the way that God promised, as we read in the book of Jeremiah 29:13, where it says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." The NIV puts it that way. The New Living Translation says, "If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." So we see a guy here who's in this case influential and important. He commands and it's done at this point. He can buy anything he wants, but something's still missing. There's a dissatisfaction in his life, in spite of all of that stuff. And that dissatisfaction is that he needs God. He's searching for God, but he needs help. And I guess that kind of describes a lot of people today, too. There are many good things, many blessings in their life, and they've looked for fulfillment in the things that money can buy. And some folks maybe look for it in personal companionship, and some people maybe look for that satisfaction in the world of technology, other things as well. But there is a fulfillment that the Bible talks about that will never, ever come through those things. A fulfillment that can only be found through meeting Jesus. Sometimes those of us who call ourselves Christians, sometimes we can also get so occupied with our own personal lives that we forget to look around and see all the people who are searching for God, because folks, they're everywhere. And the same Spirit who brought us to Jesus is trying to draw them to himself, but they don't know how to find him. Some of them you'll see experimenting with cults and false religions. Some may be listening to radio and TV evangelists, or even reading a Bible, but giving up because they don't understand, they don't get it. You see, they need somebody to share with them that the only way to lasting, satisfying peace is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so let me ask you this. When people come here to Pioneer Park Church, we have several first-time visitors with us. When people come here to Pioneer Park Church, what do they find? It's okay to ask those questions. In fact, we ought to. When folks come to our church, do they find routines or traditions that don't really satisfy a longing for a personal relationship with Jesus? Or do they find the Spirit of God alive and real among genuine people of faith? People who are willing to come alongside and help them know and learn, maybe, for example, through a life group or even through an individual connection. I hope they do. We should ask them. Well, in our story, we see a prepared heart, and we also see a willing heart. You see, this Philip was a layperson in the church who responded to what God seemed to be leading him to do. And Philip was already having great success preaching Jesus to the Samaritans in Samaria. And again, you can read the first verses of this chapter that many Samaritans were becoming believers. They were following Jesus. In fact, when the apostles, Samaria was up. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard about what was going on, Peter and John headed up to check things out. Hey, we heard there's some stuff going on here. And so they came to check it out, because after all, these were Samaritans, not Jews. And God was moving among them too. And when they saw that God was blessing, they were happy to take a great report back to the others in Jerusalem. And so all this awesomeness is going on, and the Lord sends an angel to tell Philip to head out and go south down the desert road to Gaza. Nobody went there unless they had to. Maybe if that had been me, I don't know, I might have said, but Lord, take a look. I mean, take a look. There are amazing things going on here for the kingdom, and I need to be here. Could I go later? But Philip was willing. Philip was willing, and he made himself available to what God was calling him to do. And folks, it ultimately impacted a nation of people just by his willingness to step away from all that great things that were going on and be obedient to God's leading. You see, God's reasons and his times are so often different from ours. He's got a way better perspective on things than I do, than you do. And he needed and still needs today people who will listen and follow his call to go and to do. Deborah, you touched on that today when you were sharing with us. That's how we see God things happen. He chooses to work through us. And so Philip's responding to God's instruction through an angel, and he's headed south on the desert road, probably wondering, what is this all about? And the Ethiopian eunuch is also headed south with his entourage and heading back home. And the two of them end up traveling close enough to each other, And the Holy Spirit says to Philip, he says, go over and walk. There's a prompting in Philip's mind. I don't know if he actually heard the words out loud and looked to see who was talking or whether he heard that in his heart, his mind. Go over and walk along beside the carriage. And Philip went over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. A prepared heart, a willing heart, and a relevant word. God's word is relevant. It's not something just from thousands of years ago or hundreds and hundreds of years ago. It's relevant to our situations even today and that we're in. The eunuch was reading Isaiah 53. Part of it says, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And just imagine for a moment, I know you can't really, but just imagine for a moment, the eunuch is reading this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Might he have thought, I kind of know that feeling. I was led against my choice. I didn't have any say. And they told me to just be quiet. He read, he was humiliated and received no justice. I get that, he might have thought. I've been humiliated from the time that they did that to me and through much of my life. He read, who can speak of his descendants? Maybe he said, I get that. Of course, I'll never have descendants. Who can speak of my descendants? No one. He read, for his life was taken from the earth. I get that, he might have thought, because my life was taken from me when they did that to me. And maybe he's wondering, who is this guy? And we read, the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or somebody else? And so beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. That's what the eunuch was looking for. And so we see a prepared heart, we see a willing heart, we see a relevant word, and then we see a personal salvation. You see, when Philip began at that scripture and talked about Jesus, the eunuch believed and committed himself to being a Christ follower. He found the answer to his search, and then he acted on his newfound faith in Jesus, in that when they came to some water, and apparently from what I've read, there were streams in different places. I mean, they're not going to get to a puddle. Clearly what it says, it didn't work for them. And so there was some sort of body of water or streams that crossed that road to Gaza. When they came to some water, the eunuch asked Philip if there was any reason that would prevent him from being baptized. That was a legitimate question, and one that held some anxiousness for the eunuch. You see, even if he had accepted the Jewish faith, and we're talking about Christianity here, but even if he had accepted Judaism, the Jewish faith, he could never become a Jewish convert. The Jews still held firmly to the Old Testament law, and that law prevented him from being part of the Jewish faith, even going into the inside of the temple. Because this is what Deuteronomy 23:1 says, "No one who has been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord." So only non-Jews without deformity could be initiated into the Jewish faith, Judaism. And he didn't qualify because of what had been done to him physically. And so he's asking a very relevant question to Philip. Is there anything to keep me from being baptized as a Christ follower? You imagine how awesome it would be to hear Philip say something like, "No, my brother, no. You may come just as you are. When you acknowledge Jesus as your sacrifice for sin and confess and ask forgiveness, you'll never be turned away." I bet Philip pointed out another word of prophecy to the eunuch too. Isaiah chapter 56, verses 3 to 5. Listen to this. "Don't let foreigners who commit themselves to the Lord say, 'The Lord will never let me be part of his people.' And don't let the eunuch say, 'I'm a dried up tree with no children and no future.' For this is what the Lord says. I will bless those eunuchs who keep my Sabbath days holy and who choose to do what pleases me and commit their lives to me. I will give them within the walls of my house a memorial and a name far greater than sons or daughters could give. For the name I give them is an everlasting one. It will never disappear." Can you even imagine what those words must have meant to that Ethiopian eunuch? Well, verse 39 says that after he was baptized, he went on his way rejoicing. Yeah, no kidding. He wanted to thank Philip, but we read that after Philip baptized him and they came up out of the water, he looked around and Philip was gone. Must have done a little looking. That must have been some kind of crazy trip for Philip. Because it says the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away and the eunuch didn't see him again. Now, I just want you to know that Philip didn't disappear. A few verses later, we read that he was down. Here's where it happened. And he was down doing some ministry in a place called, I can't remember, Azotus or something like that. So he just got whisked away or taken away by the Spirit to another place where God wanted to use him for God's glory. And here's something we need to see today. It wasn't just about receiving new life for the eunuch. It wasn't just, okay, now I'm a Christ follower and life will be good. Because first of all, it's not some kind of magic pill for all our troubles. That's not how it goes. Secondly, the eunuch not only became a disciple, he became a disciple maker. He came to realize that becoming a Christ follower meant that God was calling him to be on mission. And Christian tradition tells us, stories tell us that the eunuch's first disciple he led to Jesus was the Queen Mother. The Queen Mother, the Candake herself. And years later, when the first missionaries arrived in the area called Ethiopia at that time, do you know what they found? They found a thriving church. Started by, you guess. The eunuch found a real and personal faith when he found the one who says, "Those the Father has given me will come to me and I will never reject them." Jesus said those words in John 6:37. You see, when we come to faith in Jesus, folks, confessing our sins and believing that he will forgive us, that all things become new and we start over with a clean sheet before God, that same Jesus wants us to share the good news with others. Some people will turn you down. But a lot of people out there, there are a lot of people out there with hearts hungering for God need to hear it. Need to be helped, need to be shared with. They may not know that's what it is, but God has called us to help them find this out. And I guess the question for us this morning is, are you willing to answer that call? Are you willing to answer that call? It's not about just, hey, thanks Jesus for my new life, all right. But God calls us on mission. Are you willing to answer the call? You and I aren't likely to have the angels instruct us, not likely. But we can know the guidance of the Holy Spirit in sharing with others as we keep in step with the Spirit and as we continue to pray for God's guidance. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the story about Philip and the Ethiopian. Lord, you've shown us in this a prepared heart. You do that. You've shown us in here a willing heart from Philip. We've looked at what was owed to him an absolutely relevant word. Sometimes, Lord, we look at your word and we say, oh, that's from the Old Testament. And yet here, Father, this man was reading this and it was like a mirror of his own life. And the circumstances we have, he was facing. And so we see a relevant word, and then, Father, we see him come to a personal salvation, the thing that he had been searching for, that spot that nothing else satisfied, was filled by a relationship with you. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning who's not entered into that relationship with you, that hasn't come to that place of asking you to, or confessing their sin to you and asking your forgiveness, inviting you into their heart, into their life, and receiving your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that even now where we sit, that we would do that just by simply praying those words. Father, thank you that you invite us to come to you. Thank you that you're waiting for us to come to you and that you work in all of that. We give you praise and we give you thanksgiving this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If that's something that you're here this morning and maybe God's been working and speaking in your heart and you know that he's calling you and you need to just accept that invitation that he puts out, then I'd love to talk to you about this morning. We're having potluck lunch after Thanksgiving dinner and we've got time. It'd be great to talk to you about that. So, amen.